You go ahead, if you want to, go ahead and turn to Colossians 3. We're looking, of course, at the roles of not say the family aspect, husbands, wives, parents, children, all of those things. And we started with the marriage as a whole, and we talked. We had a lot of information about those first two or three lessons, and then we started looking at the role of the wife and then the responsibilities of the wife, and that was two lessons. Then we looked at the role of the husband and then the responsibilities of the husband, and that's where we are, and we're just about through with that part, and we'll get into that. And if we get through with that today, and as always, if you've got questions, comments, input, just stop me. We want to talk through this. There have been several really good resources. Let me remind you that if you are interested in helping be what we call a marriage mentor, meaning that you as a couple, and this implies that your marriage is in good shape, that if you would like to help mentor others. And there are three different areas that we're thinking about. Those who are about to get married, so you'd be helping those who are going through premarital. You would also help some people who may be in their first year of marriage. And then the third group would you would help somebody who's maybe having some problems in their marriage. So if you're interested in that, see me. Some of you have already given me your names. I've ordered some books for us that I think will really be good. It's called The Marriage Mentoring. And I think if we read the books, kind of look at that, puts us all on the same page. And then the other thing is if you're looking for a good book for husband and wife, that Love and Respect book by Egerich is the best I've read. It is so good, because a lot of books you read, they're good, but this one really gets to the heart of the issue of love and respect. And so if you're interested in that book, let me know. I can help. If we want to get some, we can get a really good price if we order a bunch at one time. I can go to CBD, and if you order a good number, like 10 or more, you get a good price. And so if you're interested at all in wanting that book, let me know. Okay? It's on Kindle. What's Kindle? Just kidding. That's the guy that usually sits on the end over there, Mr. Kendall. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great morning. Thank you for our class. Thank you for the whole issue as we start thinking about the roles of husbands and wives and parents and children and all the different things we've been going over all these weeks. And Lord, thank you that your word is clear, that you give us information that as those who belong to Jesus Christ, those who have been raised up to heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that we're to walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. We're to live out who we are. We're to think on the things above, not the things on the earth. We're to see things from the eternal perspective. And so thank you, Lord, for the Bible and how perfect it is, and the information that you've given us as roles of wives and roles of husbands and roles of parents and roles of children and how all this fits. So we just ask you to teach us now, especially as we think about the responsibilities of the man, of the husband. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's do this. Let's have a little quiz, okay? What were the two key aspects of the role of the wife? What were they? Remember? What is it? Submit and respect. And then she had responsibilities. What were they? Do you remember what they were? Love her husband, love her children, be a pure woman, and to take care of the house. Okay, that was the roles and responsibilities. And then we saw the role of the husband. What was the role of the husband? Huh? Love and lead. He is the loving leader. Then we said that the husband has four basic responsibilities. What were they? Now, we're just about to the end of that. What were they? Do you remember? Okay, he is to provide, to protect, to honor, to be what? Sensitive. What'd you say? No, I've got to be sensitive, right? That's right. So that's the big thing. Let's think through it real quickly, just for the role of the man. The first, the husband is to nourish. That is to provide. The husband is, the man is the provider for the family. That's what nourish means. It means to take care of. I'm just going really quickly through these because we've seen it. 1 Timothy 5:8 basically says if the man does not provide for the needs of his family, he is worse than an unbeliever. That's what it says. So in our culture is kind of mixed up. Our culture basically says both people provide, but the bottom line is the man is the provider of his home. And we talked about that. Second, to cherish. Cherish, the husband is to protect the family. He is the provider, protector of the family. In fact, the safety, I think the word cherish means that the safety and security of the family belongs to the husband. We've said this over and over again in our culture, in our world today. Men have lost their particular aspect of being the provider, protector. If you go to any fairy tale, any story, anything in the past, it's the man is the knight in shining armor, or he's the prince, or he's the one who's going to slay the dragon. He's that one. But in our culture today, men go, what am I supposed to do? Nothing. Well, I just come in. I said, no, he is the provider, protector of his family, the safety and security of the family belong. As we talked about this, let me remind you of this one. Men are attracted by beauty, personality, and character. Women are attracted by safety, security, and character. And men are attracted by beauty. We just look and we go, because we're really visual. But women are attracted when they feel safe. And that's the whole idea of providing and protecting. And that's a key thing. In fact, I think the next, men feel love when they're respected. Women feel love when they're protected. And that's a key. The third one is that men are to be understanding, basically, or to be understanding, to live with their wives in an understanding manner. The Greek word there really means to know. You know, and because he talks about that women are the weaker vessel. I think the next slide says that. When you say weaker vessel, that implies that the other vessel's weak and weaker. But the idea there is that we're different. In fact, the word weaker vessel almost has an idea of delicate. And so we need to be sensitive, and probably most of us, I know I'm not very good at that, and that's one thing I have to really get better at, is being sensitive. And that we've got to do that, and that's part of it. We love, we provide, we protect, we're to be sensitive. And then the last one is husbands are to honor. And that is to continue to be sensitive, but to honor, because God made us in a different way, neither inferior or superior, but to honor. And I think we put grant her honor, treasure her. Why? Because here's the key. Because we're fellow heirs. By the grace of God, both the husband and wife have eternal life. Both of us are in the family of God. Both of us are children of God. Both of us have been raised up to those positions in that sense. So we've got to honor. You know, and sometimes when men think of headship and leadership, they think of being the boss and controlling everything and running everything. And that's not what the Bible is talking about at all. Husband is the loving leader. He provides, he protects, he is sensitive, he honors his wife, and that's what we're supposed to do. And he, in that passage, if you remember, and we're not even there, but in that passage, he's warned that prayers will not be hindered. If a man is not doing what he's supposed to be doing, he has a blockage in his fellowship with God. So if you're out of fellowship with your wife, or having problems in those areas, you're going to have problems in your relationship with God. That's just the way it is. So what did we see? The big four. Our husbands, and these are the questions. Are we providing for the needs of our families? Are we giving them protection and security, treasuring them as a gift from God? Are we sensitive to our wives, knowing them, understanding them? And are we honoring our wives as fellow heirs? Those are the big four. So for the husband, his role is to love and lead. Lover is Christ, love the church, a sacrificial love, an unconditional love, a self-love. And to lead, being placed in a position of leadership, leading physically, spiritually, emotionally, all of those things. But then under those big areas of loving and leading, we have those four things: providing, protecting, being sensitive, and honoring. The big four. We have the privilege as men of being placed by God as the head. And that's a great responsibility. It's not a simple responsibility. It is a great responsibility. We're to be loving leaders, providing, protecting, understanding, and honoring. So I want to stop for a second. I want to talk about men for a second. We need to step up. And one of the things that I've been seeing, and let me just tell you some demographics. You know this, that in our culture, things have changed. That if you go back 30 years, or 35 years, the average age that a man got married was 23. The average age that a woman got, well, let me, if you go back 50 years, the average age the man got married was 21 and the woman was 18. And then in the last years, it kind of moved up to the man was 22, 23, and she was 19, 20. Now, the average age that a guy's getting married is between 26 and 27, and the woman is 23 and 24. So we're continuing to get older and older and older. Now, there's several reasons for that. culture, but one of them seems to be that people, I'm just going to say this in the nicest way possible, but it's not very nice, people aren't wanting to grow up and take responsibility. How many people have come out of college and moved back home with their parents? There's a whole generation doing that. And that's, you know, as you're in a temporary waiting place, maybe for a special job or something else. But to say, I've graduated from college, I don't have any place to live, I don't really have a job I want, I'm just going to go live with my parents for the next 3 to 4 to 5 years. We're not growing up. That's one of the issues that we're seeing over and over. And for guys, and I don't mean it bad, but for guys, a lot of them are still boys. They're still boys. And they still want to play games, and they still want, don't want responsibility. And when I think of this, I think of Friends, the TV show, because none of them wanted to grow up and get married. And you think of Seinfeld, nobody wanted to grow up and get married. You think of How I Met Your Mother, only one of the little couples were married. The rest of them said, we don't want, you know, any responsibility of getting married and carrying on with our lives or anything. And for a lot of guys, we're still trying to find ourselves. And the trouble is they're looking in the wrong place. They're looking at themselves to find themselves. When you look inside yourself, what do you see? Nothing. You see a mess is what you see. You look to God and you look to His character and you look to the truths of the Scripture and you say, this is what I'm supposed to do and this is what I'm supposed to be. What I see today is that many men are passive. And what I mean by that is this, and it's in a twofold way. One is a lot of guys just don't want to take responsibility right now. They don't want to be the head. They don't want to be a leader. They don't want to provide for their families. They don't want to protect. They don't want to do that. The other aspect is that sometimes, oftentimes, men go so hard in their jobs that when they come home, they're completely worn out and they're too passive at home because they said, I've done everything I'm going to do at work. When I come home, I just want to rest. And we have to be real careful when we give it all at work and have nothing left for home, or when we're not doing what we're supposed to do. I thought this was a good passage. This is Micah. Micah, to be a godly man, Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Crone, didn't you teach that? You've taught that before, didn't you? I remember you taught it at Countryside. You taught Micah 6 years ago, I think in the South Complex. And it's just a great passage. It says for a godly man to do three things. Do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly. A godly man does what's right, justice, fair, loves kindness. The one thing that we do that we're really as tough with our wives is we're too harsh on them. Because we're men. It's easy to be harsh. It's easy to say, that's the way it is. Or this is what I want. Or this is what we're going to do. Or good gracious alive. And sometimes it sounds harsh even if we're just loud. Right? And so we've got to love kindness and we've got to walk humbly. Humility to me is the key of life. Because he says, don't look out for the things of yourself. Humble yourself. God resists the what? Proud. And he what? Exalts the humble. So we want to be great men? Be fair and just. Love mercy. The word mercy there, kindness are the same word. And walk humbly. Men fulfill our roles. Crone, anything you want to throw in there?
Just the thing is, walk humbly.
Yeah, because the passage says, walk humbly with your God. And yeah, the key is, of course, how do we know justice and mercy and kindness and all that? It goes back to the Scripture. And he's saying, live your life in humility based off the truths of God. We see our lives, our ability, our possessions, our family, our wives, our children, all are gifts from God to us. The things that we've said, not only in the roles and responsibilities of the wife, but the roles and responsibilities of the husband, go against the culture. Go against what we hear all the time. But are we going to follow the culture? I think the next slide. We must live by the Bible and not by the culture, because that's what we see all the time. If we as husbands and wives are fulfilling our roles, we'll not only obey God, but we'll be a blessing to our families. Bottom line, husbands, wives, because that's where we're kind of bringing it to a close, husbands, wives, because the next lesson, and we'll probably get to it because we still got a few minutes, is lesson 7 deals with the role of children, and it's just part 1 because there's a good bit there. But it all boils together with servanthood, because that's what everything boils to. Bill Hybels said this. He said, service to one another. Before marriage, we serve each other. He carries her books. He makes him cookies. He fixes her car. She types his papers. Then 6 months after the wedding, they retire their servant uniforms. It's everyone for themselves. Pull out the uniforms of service, dust them off, and serve one another in love. Now here's what I want to say about the guys. And this is a little bit harsh, but it's this. Some men start out at boys and some never leave. We're going to talk about raising boys and raising girls. We're going to talk about the role of the children, what's their responsibilities. We're going to talk about the role of parents, what's our responsibilities. We're going to talk about, and let me just throw this out real quickly. You understand that it's so important to have a mom and a daddy in the family. And when you don't, it's a struggle. It's a struggle for the kids and a struggle for the family. Because if you got a daddy, then both the son can see what a dad and a man is to be like, and the daughter can understand the love of a daddy. If you got a mama, the girl can see what a mama and a woman's supposed to be like, and the son can understand the love of a mother and how they relate. You take one of those out, and in our culture today, we've got, I mean, I think it's 50% of the families are broken families in the United States now, with either one or both parents gone, but with at least one parent gone. And so we're having a real struggle in development of knowing what to do. Because if you're a guy and you never had a daddy in your life, how do you know what a daddy's supposed to be? How do you know what a man's supposed to be? If you're a little girl and you don't have a daddy in your life, how do you know what a man is? How do you know what to love? How do you know what to look for? So it's tough, and we're gonna get to that. Men start out as boys, but some never leave. So let me give you this. Husbands, let's fulfill our responsibilities. We've been placed as head by God, fulfill the roles, lead in love, not as a boss, but as one who loves. Prof. Hendricks told this story. He said that a student came to him and said, Prof, I got a problem. Prof said, what's your problem? He said, I love my wife too much. He said, really? He said, how much do you love her? Oh, I love her way too much. He said, let me ask you a question. Do you love her more than Christ loves you? Well, no. He said, well, then you don't love her enough. You better get busy. All right? So, husbands, what do? Provide, protect, understanding, and honor. If we just do the two lessons that we talked about for guys, being loving leaders and fulfill these responsibilities, it'll keep us busy the rest of our lives. And we ain't even got to the part about parents, being daddies, and then being mamas. Provide and protect and be sensitive and honor. Examine our lives. What do we need to change? Our love is sacrificial. Second, and this is the truth, let's be the pattern for the culture and the community, because that's what's out there. Everybody you come in contact with is being conformed. You know that saying, I say it a lot, I say this, if you're not consciously being transformed by the Word of God, you will unconsciously be conformed by this world. And we live in a culture that is unconsciously being conformed to the pattern of this world. And even Christians, if we're not careful, if we're not consciously digging the Word and living it out, we are being conformed to a world system that is contrary to the Scripture. And a lot of times we don't even know it's happening. So when we walk out these doors, we've got to have the pattern of a husband and a wife and parents and children and based on the Word of God. And that's, as Keith said a while ago, that whole idea is it goes back to Scripture. It goes back to the truth of the Bible. That's how we live our lives. May we be men and women who fulfill our roles as those who are seated with Christ Jesus. Okay, any questions about lesson 6, which is the men? Anything? So what have we seen? We've seen women are to submit and respect as they love their husbands, love their children. Be godly women and take care of the home. We've seen men are to love and lead as they provide and protect and are sensitive and honor. That's simply put, and we can remember all of those. The hardest part is living it out. As you look at the next lesson, lesson 7 is the role of children. What do children do? If you're in Colossians chapter 3, I just want to remind you something. We've only got about 5 or 6 minutes, so we won't get very far. But look at Colossians 3, 18, 19, 20, and 21. If you've got your Bibles, anybody got your Bibles? Anybody want to look there, or anybody care? But Colossians 3 says this, wives, be subject to your husbands as fitting the Lord. There's the wife. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. That's that one. Children, this is the third one, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. That's the children. And then look, fathers, and fathers are put there because the father's the head of the home. It's parents, we could say the mom and the daddy, but the father's actually the head. And fathers can easily do this. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. Let me just say this. I'll just throw this out. And we'll get to this later on when we get to the role of the parents, because we're going to be children for a while. But as you read that and you're a daddy and you say, what do you mean exasperate your children? What does that mean? That means to frustrate. I remember Prof. Hendricks telling the story of this lady had her baby and had one of those binky things, you know, little pacifier right there. And the daddy came up and pulled it out of the baby's mouth and then put it like this, and the baby would go. And then he'd pull it back out before the baby could get it. And then Prof said, that's exasperating your child. That's frustrating your child.